Hello, insiders. Thanks for tuning back in to Therapy Insiders Podcast, part of the Abdoc Media family. We have a bit of a special episode for you today. We're going to break away from our usual mold of interviewing some awesome guests because Urson, Joe, and I, we wanted to look back at 2016 so far. It's the halfway mark of 2016. Yeah, seriously. Time is flying. And I feel like I say that a lot. I don't know about you, but the older I get, I feel like time is always zooming by, especially if there's more stuff going on, more projects, ventures, all that kind of good stuff. So we wanted to look back. We went over some of our favorite episodes of 2016 thus far. We went through a recent poll that we did of fan favorite episodes of 2016, as well as the most downloaded episodes. We announced some big upcoming events. I feel like I say that almost every episode now, that there's a big announcement, but I promise you it's not the podcast version of clickbait. We are genuinely excited to roll out some big interviews and some big events at Abdoc Media. And babies, man. We talk a lot about babies in this episode because we're living through it. Urson, me, and Joe's got one on the way. So I hope you enjoy it. Here's Therapy Insiders after a word from WebPT. You know, we at Therapy Insiders and Abdoc Media are huge fans of business and business conferences. That's why I'm incredibly excited to announce that Therapy Insiders is sponsored by Ascend Conference, the ultimate rehab therapy business summit, happening September 9th and 10th in Fort Worth, Texas. You know what else? Ben and I are speaking and presenting on digital media and marketing at the conference. You're going to have some of the biggest names in physical therapy, some of the brightest business minds in rehab at this conference. It's going to be incredible. You're going to love the networking opportunities and the information. In the middle of this podcast, I actually grabbed Dr. Heidi Janenga, the president of WebPT, to ask her where Ascend Conference came from and really what is the value of it. And you're definitely going to want to hear that. In the meantime, check out ascendevent.com to get your early bird special pricing. That's before June 1st. Get your early bird pricing at ascendevent.com. Come hang out with us and learn from some of the best in the field. And now, on to Therapy Insiders. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. Dr. Gene Chirac-Abrad here with Dr. Joe Palmer, Dr. Urson Religioso. And gentlemen, it's about summertime. I know we're all on the East Coast. Joe and I in Maryland. Urson, you're in Buffalo, and it's been a rough spring into summertime so far in terms of weather-wise. I mean, it's been raining nonstop. I'm not quite sure how people survive in Oregon and in the West Washington area. But I'm excited about summertime. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm ready for the summer. We jumped right into summer.
We sure did. It was like raining nonstop. We opened up our pool in the middle of April. We didn't swim at all. And then we swam one time last week. And then it was like 94 yesterday, record high in Buffalo. And then today for the half marathon, it was luckily just like 75 by the time I finished at 9 a.m. So perfect.
First, you just ran a half marathon. How'd it go?
It went well. The Netflix training program really paid off.
Why don't you explain to the listeners what a Netflix training program is? We were just joking about that today.
Yeah, well, as much as I have advocated running and love treat runners, and they're some of my favorite patients, I would never tell someone that running on a treadmill to train for a half marathon or a full marathon is the way to go, or even for a 5K. But when you have a newborn who let's just say he's lacking in the sleep department or challenging somewhat, tells lots of stories at night and during the day, as we say, I didn't exactly have enough time to kind of drive half an hour away to someplace or just drive someplace even 10 minutes away, run for an hour and a half to 2 hours, recover, and then drive home. And then, you know, my wife's pretty much exhausted by then and pulling her hair out. So I pretty much ran from 9 to 11 p.m. at night. I ran outside twice only. And I was kind of worried about today, but, I mean, I did fine. It was like one of the best runs of my life. So the big Netflix experiment, caught up on 2 seasons of Arrow, watched lots of Game of Thrones. It's pretty awesome. I mean, I really wish I could have hung an iPad off the back of my running partner's back and watch. It would have made it go a little faster, but still, it worked. So that I think it's going to be my new e-product.
There's there you go. That the next innovation in running, VR running.
Like, yeah.
Like a harness or like some kind of like wearable...
Strap. Yeah, I guess so. Backpack. Just yeah, it couldn't just be VR though. It would have to be some sort of overlay, like picture in picture that actually shows you the real world too.
A little augmented reality. I mean, it's like, you know, have you seen those bikes in the gym that have the monitor and have the fake, you know, scenery or gamification? So while you're biking, you're actually playing a game type of thing.
Yeah, I have, but man, those things suck. They're like, it's like games from the mid 80s. They need to update those things.
Yeah, but this is like reverse. This is like real life, but gaming. So I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So it went well. I mean, the temperature held up, and I'm pretty much going downstairs sideways now.
That also sounds about right. So it's a good strategy. Yeah. Netflix and sleep deprivation, the new training for PRs and running.
Right. Yeah, I had a PR. I mean, running your first half, it's a PR, right?
That's right. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do, man.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to my next half. And I thought, for one second, I thought, I'm going to break off into the full and just run that. That's how good I was feeling.
Yeah, I did that once. I don't recommend it. about 3 miles after the halfway point. You start to realize that you made a poor decision, and then you're too far out to turn around and go to the half, so you might as well just continue, and it's just it doesn't end well.
Yeah, I figured I'd be responsible, and plus my wife and family actually got up, drove around for like half an hour to try to find a parking space, and were waiting for me at the finish line, so I didn't want to, exactly, with no way to contact them, I didn't want them to have to wait another couple hours for me.
Yeah, good thing you were there. That's good.
Yeah, that probably would have been divorce worthy.
Plus the sleep deprivation.
Yes.
Yeah. Logical thinking and decision making, not so much with the sleep deprivation. But Joe, you'll figure that out soon enough.
Yeah, Joe, when's the baby coming?
Oh, soon enough. We're 3 weeks out now from due date.
Great. But could be any day then, really.
Could be any day, yeah.
Awesome.
As our doctor said, at this point, we don't try to stop you. So, yeah.
Yep, that's pretty much, that not only applies to the baby coming, that pretty much applies to anything your wife wants at this point. I don't try to stop her.
Oh, man, for the first pregnancy, once around, maybe, I don't know, 12 at night or 1 in the morning, Nicole asked for pickles or chicken nuggets or something from McDonald's, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm so tired. And that was, oh my gosh, that was one of the worst things I ever said. I mean, I hadn't even no reason. We didn't have kids then, so I had no reason not to do it. Somewhere around like kid 2 or 3, she's like, I want chicken nuggets. We had just watched something and she saw chicken nuggets, so I was like, all right. So I go to McDonald's at something like 2 a.m. I buy a 20-piece chicken nugget. And she also said, I want as many different dipping sauces as possible. So, you know, over the drive-thru, I'm like, they're like, what, do you want any sides with that dipping sauce? I said, yeah, I want all of them. They said, well,
everything.
And they said, well, we have something like 17. I'm like, I'll take them all. And they said, well, we're only allowed to give 5. I'm like, I will pay extra. My wife is super pregnant. She wants this now. I need to get home with it. And he's like, oh, man, it's an emergency. I'm on a mission now. Like, I'm gonna distract my boss and throw in as many as I can. So, it was quite a smorgasbord we had. I can tell you though, it was more like Duff beer. You know, I think they all kind of come from the same thing because half of them tasted the same. But there were a lot of different flavors.
You had options.
We did have options.
There's almost a micro lesson in that, Erson, about marketing and business, that you go into there and they're just, you know, another number, another person, another customer, until you make it personal and they realize your story. And then once they heard that, the tide shifts and it becomes a mutual story, that they become part of it and they want to help you survive into the next day.
Right, yeah. That guy went home and said, hey, man, some poor guy, 2 a.m, was practically crying because his wife wanted chicken nuggets at 2 a.m.
Yeah, some poor schmuck wanted five of the same sauces times three.
Right.
I thought you were going to
say that from a marketing perspective, the lesson is you can create a bunch of the different products that are really the same product and people will buy them.
Well, that's true too. That's perception. People buy perception. Right. If they perceive it differently, then they'll buy whatever, as long as there's good marketing and good awareness of it, or you have really pregnant wives that really need it.
It's so, like Excedrin migraine, right? The study showed that it was pretty much just Excedrin with the directions that say take with a migraine.
Exactly.
Or Excedrin tension headache. They're all the same thing.
It's all the same thing. It's all caffeine. It's all caffeine pills, goddammit.
Right. Drink a coffee.
That's exactly it. When my wife, Jamie, used to get, you know, quote-unquote migraines, and then most of them were tension headaches, so I would work on her neck and have her lay on an arc and then work on her head for a little bit. And I'd make her an Americano, you know, brew up some espresso with some water and make her drink it. She's like, well, why are you making me drink this? I was like, what do you think your pills are? I mean, at least this way you get to enjoy the taste.
Right. Coffee, is there anything it can't do?
No, it's magical. Unless it's like crappy coffee, then it's somewhat less magical, but still great.
Do you like coffee, Joe?
I am a coffee drinker. Yet one more thing that my wife's missing, and I got a list of things I got to bring to the recovery room. Coffee
mm-hmm. is one of them. Oh yeah, one of my lists was 12 donuts.
We had a sushi. It was sushi for me. Coffee nice. And sushi.
Coffee and sushi.
Yep.
Two things I love that I don't know if they go together.
Oh, they do. They do.
Do they?
No. Oh, yeah.
Depends on how long you've been without them.
That's true. I guess so.
That's true.
Dipping the sushi in the coffee and chasing it down with some more coffee. At that point, yeah, you know, that's tough. 9 months without caffeine or wine or sushi or God. More power to them.
After you have a pregnant wife, how could you ever complain about anything, right?
Yeah.
The wife, you mean?
Is she still running?
She is.
Kudos, man. How could any of us ever complain about running? I'm never going to complain again.
That's it. I can complain pretty easily.
So, yeah, I started to. She's having more difficulty now, and. it's because she's much heavier than she normally is, and I said, well, see, that's how I feel every day when I run because I'm that heavy, and she said, and I said, see, it's not as much fun now, is it? And that got me in trouble.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
I'll tell you what not else to do. After our first one, I said, hey, you know, why don't we were just walking around, the nurses had the baby or something. And I was like, hey, you know, there's a scale in the hallway of the hospital. Why don't we weigh yourself to see how much weight you lost? She's like, okay. Do you know how much weight she lost? -5 pounds. She actually gained 5 pounds, probably in like swelling and stuff.
During the oh my goodness.
Are you still alive?
That was a really bad idea. Things not to do, Joe.
Wow.
Noted.
Wow. I'm surprised you're still alive, Erson.
Don't suggest that.
Nothing with scales post-pregnancy ever makes sense. Like, even if the weight was lost, the number that shows up is still, you're still going to lose. That's like a lose-lose situation.
Right. You have a 7-pound baby. They don't lose 7 pounds.
No. No. And they still remember the weight they were before the pregnancy. So it's no good. No good. But let me tell you something that was good, Erson.
this season of UpDoc Media, or this year of UpDoc Media's Therapy Insiders podcast?
Exactly. Exactly.
And before we jump into our favorite episodes of 2016, as well as your favorite episodes, let's talk a little bit more about the Ascend Conference 2016. We at UpDot Media are obviously excited to go and present, and I wanted to kind of get a little bit more background, a little story of Ascend. So I asked Dr. Heidi Janenga, president of WebPT, to give us a bit of a rundown on Ascend. Here's Heidi.
Yeah, thanks, Gene. So our vision for Ascend has really been to try to bring the brightest minds in private practice together in an innovative, creative environment in which you have the opportunity to talk about and learn more about the ever-evolving world of business in private practice. We're talking physical therapists, occupational therapists together, exchanging and ideas and challenging each other to really understand how to take your private practice business to that next level. And that's really what Ascend is all about. It's an educational event that you can learn practical business tactics, as well as capitalizing on the changing healthcare landscape. Plus, you earn CEUs, which you have to do, to get the ROI from going to a conference. So you have the opportunity as a PT or OT to actually get up to 9 CEUs for attending the Ascend event. But not only that, you get to network with thought leaders like Gene.
Thanks for the kind words, Heidi, and I completely agree. This is an incredible event to be with your peers, to be with some think leaders that are doing some really cool things that you will learn from, and you get ROI. You leave this conference being excited to attend next year. That's the best thing I can say. Networking, information, CEUs, everything in one place. Check out ascendevent.com, www.ascendevent.com. Get your early bird pricing before June 1st. You will love this conference. I promise you. One of my favorites. Check it out, ascendevent.com. Now, let's jump back into Therapy Insiders as Joe Urson and I share some of our favorites of 2016.
That might have been actually our longest intro into something relevant. That was 12-ish minutes of us going. Thankfully, there's no guest this time.
Is anyone still listening?
I don't know. If you're still listening, please tweet at us. Let us know that this episode, you stuck around till the 12-minute mark to actually listen to what this is about.
All the parents are still listening.
Yeah, exactly. I hope at least a couple of people were shaking their heads, understandingly, connecting with us. This is actually the half year episode, so it's Memorial Day for us tomorrow. So again, committing a cardinal sin of dating a podcast, but summertime is coming, and I thought it was a good time to kind of look back. We just did a half yearly top 5 podcast, and those were based on downloads and votes. So number 5 was the concussion episode with Dr. Jessica Schwartz. Number 4 was the mechanics of a treatment approach with Stuart McGill, Professor McGill. Number 3 was Do You Even Lift, Physio Bro, with Dr. Zach Long. Number 2 was A Skeptical Guru Walks Into a Podcast with Adam Meekins. And number 1, I don't think it's much of a surprise, was Becoming a Supple Leopard with Kelly Starrett. And that podcast is almost 2 months in, and people are still talking about it and having discussions about it. So a lot of discussions going on. But what about you guys? Like, what's been your favorite podcast discussion that we had so far?
I enjoyed the concussion episode a lot. Found it to be very, very pertinent and definitely timely from a clinical standpoint. So
that was a great one. We actually have Jessica booked for part 2. So we'll get into a lot more details.
I'm excited yeah, about
me
it.
Too. Me too. It's going to be a great episode. What about yours?
I definitely like Jess's, to copy off of Joe. I also really enjoyed interviewing Professor McGill. I thought he was really, really smart, really smooth. He answered all our questions. And I found that generated a lot of good discussion online as well.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, was probably Cats and Vibrators with Greg Lehman.
That was good. That one actually was like the difference between
honorable mention.
Yeah, the difference between 7, 6, and 5 was a couple hundred downloads. So they were incredibly close, and Greg was number six. And it was funny because when that poll was going on Twitter, he actually tweeted jokingly, well, what if I'm number six, or who cares, I'll be number six. And he actually turned out to be number six. So it was very prophetic of him. That was a great episode. I really enjoyed that one too.
That's what you told all of our guests, right, Gene? That they were number six.
I told them
number six.
I'm sorry, you were number six.
Work harder next time if you want to make the list. God damn it, that's what I told them. Shared. But it's going to be a tough when we get to the end of the year, when we do the top 10 of the year. This is going to suck. It sucked last year, but this year is going to suck even more. I mean, I feel like we had some incredible guests and episodes. That the Professor McGill one was fun because I think you and I, again, we don't really do research before the podcast, but I think Urson, you and I had a lot of preconceived notions going into it because of your pain science background and Professor McGill's kind of focus on biomechanics. So we really didn't know where it was going to go, but he was such an incredibly nice guy and so accepting and open to discussions of all things. Like I don't understand how you cannot respect him and appreciate his right. perspective and how he processes things.
Yeah, I'm excited to get him back on for part two because I think there were a lot of questions I even asked him after the podcast that he still answered really well. And again, I wish we had not stopped recording like we had done so many times before. I don't know, Gene. Sometimes you're going to have to just say you stopped recording and we're just going to have to keep on going. But yeah, that was probably one of my favorite ones ever.
Listen to it again. I'm looking forward to part two with him and diving into some more details as well, kind of probably what we'll do with Jessica. And then obviously the Adam Meekins one was popular because Adam has a pretty good following and his whole skeptical thing. And so that got a lot of downloads and people that didn't know of him on this side of the pond got some of his perspective. But him as well, like he has a very obviously kind of brash in your face persona. But listening to him and having a conversation, even though we didn't really agree on everything, like his terrible taste in music, him in discussion is very, very open, very, very data science driven, yes, but he understands kind of the landscape and is willing to at least discuss it. So one little announcement, or actually one big announcement for our listeners, is coming up. We're going to have Adam and Sue Falzone discuss and debate dry needling. Obviously, Adam is very much in the camp of that it's not very effective, and Sue is on the other side, and she teaches Dr. Ma's dry needling class. So I think that's going to be an interesting podcast.
I'm excited for that. Actually, I have something similarly planned between Jason Silvernail and Andrew Ball. It's a discussion on dry needling as well. And Gene and I actually planned both of these independently. So
are we going to take like votes? Like, is this an actual debate where people can vote for who they feel won the debate overall?
Sure. I mean, after the episode launches, I think it's going to be a good discussion point. No pun intended. I plan, obviously, moderating it, but it's not going to be set up as a political debate, and I'm going to make sure that it's lined up very professionally and science driven. So it will be interesting to hear that back and forth. I have a feeling that because of how professional Sue is, and even Adam, I don't see it getting it. Like if it was Adam and James Dunning who invited as well but didn't hear from, I think that would have been a whole different conversation than Adam and Sue.
Probably. They have definitely got into it on Twitter before, so
like more Donald Trump like
in the debate. Would have been like Donald Trump debating Donald Trump.
Except for Donald Trump with an accent and
exactly. So that's I don't know how that works out. Like if it's just
good,
like debating
though.
In
I mean,
there.
Did you tell Dunning that I wouldn't be on the podcast?
I did not. He had an invitation. He declined, or he didn't. He didn't accept. He didn't even. There was no official word. But Adam accepted, and Sue accepted, and I'm excited about that one. And so the number one podcast so far of 2016, Kelly Starrett. I mean, that was just a monster. That was a monster of an episode that almost 2 hours long and covered so much ground and obviously got people stirred up a little bit on movement and posture. And is there bad posture? Is there such a thing as perceived move or perceived quality of movement? And can we really dictate? Like, what do you guys think about that? Can we really have, or can we predict and train specific movements? Can we say something is quality versus not?
I think it's hard to say when you look at research that doesn't correlate posture and pain. The pain science people pretty much just take it and say, like, you can slouch all day, but you look at health studies and it pretty much shows that it's not really the way you sit, but it's how long you sit. And it doesn't correlate to pain, but it correlates to overall health and comorbidity. And they also take things like, you know, scapular position and hip position doesn't correlate with pain. And that's probably absolutely true, but you know, these things also, they correlate to performance and efficiency and simple length tension relationship. So anyone who argues that these things don't need to be looked at, very rarely are they in a performance realm. And anyone who kind of coaches or works with more athletic people or even works with people after they're in pain to further their performance, it's pretty hard to argue common sense things. I mean, yeah, there was once a study that actually showed that sitting up straight increases your neck range of motion, even if it had nothing to do with pain. And it's sad that I think we have to study those things, but, you know, just like any camp, you can take a good thing like pain science too far and just throw the baby out with the bathwater. So, you know, anything can be taken too far.
And Joe, please do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Be careful when you're bathing.
No. Yeah, and I've heard not to do that. I think that it becomes very difficult, and it almost becomes more of a behavioral adjustment that needs to be discussed and talked about. But as far as you trying to affect change in a treatment session, I think it is pretty tough to affect real postural change. But I think that they're much like Urson said. I think it's more time dependent than it is quality dependent. You can sit poorly for a short period of time and probably be fine. But then again, it also depends on the irritability of your system. I mean, and what else? What other factors and comorbidities that you're dealing with? I think you know. It is worth the discussion. It's worth having that discussion about proper alignment and proper postural modifications, whether or not you see any direct change during your treatment session or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are great points by both of you guys. Urson, I think the point you made about kind of separating pain science from performance is huge. And pain science can be interlinked to pretty much everything, because a lot of it is psychology, is understanding communications and how to be positive and progressing a person instead of throwing nocebo or fear mongering, all that stuff at people. But I think anybody that has played sport, that has coached, that is performance oriented, there's always some kind of piece of quality in the movement. If you have a baseball swing, there's some skill that's involved to understand the motion, the movement that's involved to have the best benefit in the outcome. You know, the way you load up the bat, the way you stride, the way you transition from one movement to the next. Same thing with golf, same thing with basketball, same thing with squatting and lunging and all that stuff. There is something that makes the movement a little bit more efficient. And if you take it to the next level of combining pain science, of combining physical therapy principles, biomechanical principles, I think that just makes it a lot more powerful. I don't think they have to be colliding forces of opposition. I think working together makes them a lot stronger, but unfortunately, a lot of times people that teach them are not the same. Like in my mind, the person that comes closest is Greg Lehman that teaches kind of that integrative model of everything. Cause I feel like he's a lot more pragmatic about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, he is. I have to give another shout out to actually Chris Johnson as well. In his System of Run course, he shows several slides, one of like a champion female runner, another of a champion male runner, and in the slide with the top marathon runners in the world, the one woman who's leading has a pretty poor single leg stance stability in several of the slides. I mean, you can see she has a pretty bad valgus collapse, but she's pretty much the top runner in the world, or one of them, I guess. Because he knows all these people by name, and you know, I don't know like the running circuit athletes, but you know, and his question is, you know, if this is the top runner in the world, are you going to change, you know, are you going to change her form? And you know, he's pretty pragmatic and about it as well, because basically he says, I wouldn't change the form because maybe they have some sort of bony anatomy or that's like the best viable strategy for them. And if they're winning, you don't have to change it. But once someone's in pain, there are ways to take, I mean, you know, even when you combine biomechanics and pain science, there are ways to take sensitivity away from certain structures and make things more efficient that will still make the CNS perceive less threats. You know, you're still loading muscles and ligaments and structures of joints and joint capsules differently if you have an inefficient gait. So it's like, yeah, if you're winning and you have no pain, don't change it. But once you have pain, we might want to look at changing some inefficiencies.
So let me ask you this. What if she is number two? What if she's not the best runner, but she's the runner-up and she still doesn't have pain, but she just can't quite catch up to the number one runner? Do you start making changes then?
Yeah, I mean, I think those things, like I said, these things may matter for performance. And we can see about making someone more symmetrical, but that's, you know, there's also some sports that require asymmetry, right? What if she was a track runner? She would need a little asymmetry. So yeah, that's a hard thing to answer. I mean, even a future guest who I hope to get, Dr. Mike Voigt, he's one of the SFMA instructors. He basically says that he's worked with some world-class athletes, made them more symmetrical, and they got worse. So, I mean, like I always tell every patient, we can do an intervention, I can teach you something, and I can do something to you, and there's three options. You could be better, worse, or no change.
I love that, because that's kind of what it comes down to, right? It's the practice of medicine that I think we forget sometimes, and we don't have to be perfect, but we need to have a strategy, and most importantly, we need to be honest with the person we're doing it with, not to, with. They have to be part of that journey. They have to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and some of it is doing the best of our knowledge, and some of it is experimenting. And if they're not open to that, then we give them the best possible outcome that we can through the latest research and science and experience. And if they are open to it, then you can come to an awesome realization and create something new. Right, Joe?
That's right.
All right, gents. 6 months, half a year, 2016 in the books. Congratulations on surviving, getting to this point.
That's right. Joe will be joining us soon in the Legion of Sleep Deprived.
There you go. I can only hope to be as smart as you guys once I'm there.
There's no smart in sleep deprivation, Joe. There's only survival.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys are doing pretty well.
I don't want to rub it in our sin.
In your sleep
you get to read up a lot on journals maybe and blog posts that you may have missed when you're up with your baby at like
there
2 a.m.
So fill in that time.
Listen, that's right. You might as well do something productive. Whatever you can to stay up and
forget baby Einstein. My baby's gonna be reading the PT journal.
There you go, Erson. I was gonna rub it in, but Zoe's been sleeping through the night for like the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
It was a perfect storm yesterday. Actually, it was one of the only. I've been taking Kiko from 5 to 7 or 5 to 8 a.m. so Nicole can have another period of sleep, because if she's lucky, he'll sleep 2 or 3 hours in the beginning, and then he'll wake up every 2 hours after that. But last night was, you know, I had to leave for the half at 5:30 a.m., so I couldn't take him. But he actually slept 6 hours, and she ended up having to wake him up. I mean, that's the longest he's ever slept. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it worked out really well because I was thinking, like, how she's going to be a zombie, like, driving around, you know, downtown Buffalo trying to find a parking space, getting, like, wrangling five kids into the car and you know, waiting for me at the finish line. I was like, I perfectly understand if you're not at the finish line waiting for me. So, but she did.
I feel like that's the difference between kid number one and kid number, like, number two, three, or four, or whatever. Like, the first kid, when they sleep more than 2 or 3 hours, you're like, oh my God, go check on him, make sure he's alive. And then kid two, right. When they sleep longer, like, should we go check? No, go back to sleep. Get some sleep while you can.
Yeah. Yeah, right around kid three or four, Bill Cosby had a funny bit about it. He's like, yeah, the first one, you know, you check on them, you baby-proof the house. And, like, the third or fourth one, they're, like, eating dog food off the floor. And you're like, just let them.
I'm sorry, we don't talk about Bill Cosby anymore.
I know. I wish I could have said it. It was still a funny bit, though.
It was a funny bit. So, guys, it's been an honor. I can't believe we're in our third year now, getting into the third year.
Yeah, even 3 years with me.
No, 3 years total. It's actually going to be 4 years in February. I think since it's been 2.5 years with you. I think we started in February of 2012, Joe. Right? That sound about right.
Yeah. Nuts.
So, we really didn't start seriously until you came aboard, Urson, where we started really focusing on consistency and regularity. But, we're right around 200,000 downloads for a once-a-week podcast. I think it's pretty impressive.
It's good stuff. Stay tuned for an even better 2016.
That's going to be tough to beat, but we're working on it. We've got some big guests already lined up, and obviously the Sue and Adam discussion debate is going to be fun, and yeah, big things planned, not just for the podcast, but for UpDoc Media, and big announcements coming up. Obviously, the Untold Physio Stories is an awesome podcast with you and Jason. That's on iTunes now. Joe's got his baby coming. We got some other business things coming up, and I'm excited, guys.
We're looking for interns, I hear.
Looking for interns. Yep. We need somebody to fly us over some coffee because we're all on pretty much different states and time zones. So we're trying to figure out how to get the interns working. We're going to be looking to hire some part-time and full-time people for UpDoc Media for the marketing stuff. So a lot of stuff going on.
Like Corymerica Incorporated?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. That's Seinfeld reference.
Stay tuned, and as always, I mean, we're pretty much here because of our listeners, and Therapy Insiders keep chugging along, and listeners keep growing, a lot of it because of other listeners keep bringing in their friends and family, and keep spreading the word on social media. I keep seeing Therapy Insiders popping up when podcasts are being recommended, so thank you for that, and still to this day, by far the best part of this podcast is the conversations and discussions after it's released. And I know that's what I look forward to the most. It would be kind of terrible if we just released an episode and nobody said anything or talked about it. So you could always find us on social media and be more than happy to engage and interact and hear your thoughts. So tweet at us at Therapy Insiders, at the OMPT, and at JoeDPT. And if you really need to get a hold of us, you could also check out at updocmedia.com or shoot us an email through our updocmedia.com names, Gene, Urson, or Joe. Guys, any closing thoughts?
It's been a fun year. You're right, it will be hard to top, but we can do it.
Yeah, just excited for the second half of the year with you guys.
Likewise. All right, gentlemen, return to your posts, enjoy whatever sleep you can, and catch you next week.
I'm going to go crawl up the stairs now.
Later. That's what you get for running.